A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 11th July 2024, Thursday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, Unique Dhamma Code Straight from the Heart. Unique Dhamma Code 119. We finish 118. As usual, let us gather and we will have our physical puja. Let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, santaha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Vinsu Pusa. Namo Vinsu Pusa. Namo Vinsu Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sangham namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Adinatana viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. We will continue our chanting from the Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarappa dittena dippena tamadansina diloka dipan sambuddhan pujayami tamonudan. Ganda sambara yuttena duppena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyam tang puja bhajana muttamam. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siripada sarorohe pujemi betang kasumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May the morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation upon free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of all these offerings, may all spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, siddhi, samadhi, and panya be further developed, strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing enhance of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jam. Buddham Pujami. Dhammam Pujami. Sangham Pujami. This awareness-based meditation, as explained by me, is very important. It is our chance to train our mind to develop the inner awareness within, so that you can have the meditative mind. The inner awareness without thought is the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature within. So that one needs to be stabilized. Otherwise, you will think a lot. You will be constantly lost in thought, heedless, creating mental thinking, mental volition, chattering. All these are activity of the mundane mind, the thinking mind. When thought arises, mundane thinking become active. And when this one become habitual, you develop a lot of what we call heedless thinking, negative thinking, or what we term as wrong thoughts. Wrong thoughts are thoughts that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And because of that, they condition us into negativity. And this negative mind state can give rise to mental states that will hinder our mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. The Buddha called it the Pancha Nivaranas, or the English equivalent is the five mental hindrances. So the word mental hindrance denote these are the mind state that will hinder our mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So this is a very important understanding. And our today's topic, which is unique code, unique Dhamma code 119, it covers this particular topic, the mental hindrance, followed by the opposite sets of spiritual faculties. So understanding this pair of Dhamma, essential Dhamma, is very important. Otherwise, you cannot train your mind to develop the meditative state. That's why we need to understand what are these five mental hindrances. And what are the opposite spiritual faculty that can enable you to understand spiritual teaching? So when the spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance will be gone, cease to be. But when the mental hindrance are there, it means your spiritual faculty are not there or not stable enough. Not enough for you to keep them at bay. So all this, we will discuss it after the class. So now, as before, remember the four support that will help you to develop the inner awareness. Relax body and mind. Relax into every mind state that arises. And silence your mind completely. Maintain awareness. There is a second support. Continue to relax and maintain the awareness within. Whatever arises, just aware. Don't try to know, don't try to do. Because all these activities are from the thought process. The entity that wants to know is from the thought process, the mundane thinking, the mundane mind. The entity that wants to do is also the thought. The one that verbalizes is also the thought. That one that creates the chattering, the heedless thinking, they are all by the thought. So all this, when we understand, we just relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness. Then the fourth support is, of course, for those who can develop the ability to stabilize their awareness. Then you stay at the heart area and silence everything. Then trust that nature, the fourth support is trust that nature to do the internal movement by itself, and let it detect the gateway to your nature. Just stay at the heart area, completely relax, maintain awareness. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed, and for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to help you develop the daily mindfulness while in the midst of life. These are mind states that can develop spiritual faculties. And this one, they are very conducive for cultivator of the way to develop the inner awareness. That's why whatever inner peace means that calmness, inner awareness that you have developed. All these are very conducive mind states. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Padanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Beso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Eja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanaiko Pachyatang Veditabho Venohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukkani Atta Purisa Pugala เอสาบะกะวะโตสักสังโกอาหุเนโยปาหุเนโยตัคคิเนโยอัญจะลิกะรณิโยอนุตรังปุญญังเขตังโลกัสสาติสาธุสาธุสาธุ Turn to page 33 of this book. Straight from the heart, unique Dhamma code by me. Yeah? We are at unique Dhamma code 119. So as explained just now, today's topic is on this Pancha Nibbaranas, or in English is translated as the five mental hindrances. This is a very important essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach. It highlights towards the cultivator of the way the five mental hindrances, like the word mental hindrance means it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Whereas the characteristics of a meditative state or meditative mind is inner calmness or inner peace, followed by inner awareness. When you are just aware without thought, you have inner peace. Then there is this inner calmness of mind. That's why they are all an expression of the true mind, the silent mind. When you are just aware without thought, that is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the inner peace, the inner calmness. That's why this important definition of the five mental hindrances is very important. Now, whenever you arise this mental hindrance, they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate. You end up developing all the heedless thinking, all the thought activity that make you heedless. Then all this, if you constantly manifest them throughout the day, then how can you develop the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness to be in the meditative state? And these are mental hindrances. Whenever they arise, it will hinder your mind. So in order to meditate, you have to root out the mental hindrances. So this is a very important understanding. After I will go into it and explain in more detail. So I read the quote first. Pancha Nivaranas, or the five mental hindrances of mind. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and worry. Then finally is doubt or indecision. These mind states hinders our mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Therefore, to develop the meditation or the meditative mind, we must cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties to counter this mental hindrance in order to enable us to understand spiritual teaching. So the five spiritual faculties in Pali is called Pancha Indriyas. One is the Pancha Nivaranas, the other said the opposite spiritual faculty is called Pancha Indriyas. So what are they? Like just now in the puja aspiration, the chanting, we aspire for causes and conditions by invoking our merits, to strengthen our this spiritual faculty until it becomes balas or powers, means become very stable, unshakable. And these five spiritual faculties, when they are there, they will counter the five mental hindrances, then the hindrances cannot be there. They are our faith, Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. These are Pali words. Sadha is faith, faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then when there is faith, there is a spiritual zeal or tenacity that will drive you to cultivate this teaching or to develop this meditative mind. That's why with Sadha and Virya, the third spiritual faculty or Sati will arise. Sati is mindfulness or awareness before the knowing. It's without thought. It's just aware. Then when Sati stabilizes, it becomes Samadhi. So Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, stability of mind. When the mind is collected and very stable, then it has Samadhi. With Sati and Samadhi, you can see things as they are and insight in the phenomena to realize the truth, which will result in the arising of the fifth spiritual faculty, which is Panya, or what we call wisdom. So for wisdom to arise, there must be Sati and Samadhi. So sometimes this Samadhi is also called the unwavering mind. This mind is collected and unwavering, but it's a free mind in the state of Samadhi. There is a type of Samatha, Samadhi, which is not born of a free mind. It's born of a concentrated mind, a conditioned state, where you are in the focusing concentration, one-pointedness, jhanic state, or strong absorption to whatever technique and method of meditation that you develop. Sometimes it can also be continuous mindfulness which went in so deep until it become apana samadhi. That one is what we call, it's not a free mind anymore. That mind went into absorption. It absorbed through that continuous mindfulness. It's like drawn in, absorbed, very strong. So all these are samatha mind state. They are not the real samadhi. So anyway, for understanding wise, it's enough for you to know that these are the five spiritual faculty that will counter the mental hindrance. Maybe I write on the whiteboard so that easier for you to see and understand. So the first set is the five mental hindrance. So these five mental hindrance, they are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt. Also restlessness and worry. The last one is doubt or indecisive. So the other five are the five mental faculties: Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. So we need to develop understanding of what this five spiritual faculties and these five mental hindrances are, and what is the meaning of it? Why is it under the hindrance? They hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Whereas this five opposite, which is mental faculties or spiritual faculties, sometimes they use this word spiritual faculty. These are the mind states when developed is conducive for developing the meditative state, because they are all meditative states that can bring about the meditative state leading to enlightenment. Whereas these five, the opposite, they are mental hindrances. So now we start to develop understanding. Here, sensual desire, it means our craving, positive craving, things that we like, we desire through our senses, like our sixth sense. Whatever we see, when there is this desire, it can be good food, pricey thing, beautiful things, nice nature, or whatever. So it will give rise to that craving, that desire inside your mind. Then when you hear nice music or very interesting vibration, then it also can draw your craving and develop what we call sensual desire. So when it comes to tasting of the food, of course, is easy to understand. If it's good food, sometimes people like sweet things, fragrant thing or nice thing. They will be drawn to it. So your seeing consciousness, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process can give rise to all the six types or respective desire of the senses. That's why it's called sensual desire. So when you have sensual desire, what happened to you? Can your mind state be described as peaceful, tranquil, still, without thought? No. The moment you have craving, the desire, positive or negative, the second one is ill will, which is your anger, your hatred, your envy, your jealousy, your whatever resentment, very strong resentment, or unhappy emotion. All this, they are negative craving. So these two are positive and negative craving, and they are from the evil roots of greed and hatred. That's how they manifest. So both also through our senses, where we don't like, we want to push it away, or we become annoyed, agitated, angry, emotional, sometimes fearful and all those things. So wherever there is these two mind state, your mind will react. Your mind has reacted. Well, this is what we call like and dislike. Positive craving is what you like. The ill will is negative craving, is what you dislike. That's why whenever you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel something or think of something, you will stir your mind into like and dislike. Or you attach, if it's pleasant sense experience, if it's unpleasant, you reject. So whenever your mind stir or react, it's always towards the senses experience, either pleasant or unpleasant sense experience, or you like it and you don't like it. So these two, if throughout the day, with every moment of consciousness of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, you develop this movement of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, and it causes your mind to stir. What happened? These are mental hindrances. And if you arise it so habitually, so constantly, you repeat it until it becomes habitual, then you are dukkha manasana. How can you be in the state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness to develop the meditative state or meditative mind? There is no way. That's why it's called mental hindrance. Whenever your mind stirs, there is no tranquility, no stillness, no inner awareness. Your mind state has arisen. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. That's why they are called mental hindrance. Then the third one is sloth and torpor. Here the meaning is, you feel sleepy, lethargic mind, dull mind. All these are the words. Lethargic, dull, sleepy. So when you have this type of mind state, you cannot pay attention. You cannot develop inner awareness, inner peace, inner calmness to be in the meditative state. You cannot develop all the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Because you slough into sleepiness. You become very sleepy. And your mind is very dull. No clarity, no energy, no inner peace, no inner calmness. Every time, either agitated or sleepy. Then number four is easy to understand. When you are restless, how can you be in the meditative state? Restless means what? When you have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, your mind worry a lot, understand? When you have problem related to the first noble truth reality, the eighth condition, your mind become restless. And this will happen when you project your thought into the future and worry about what will happen. Or when you recollect the scars of memory, or the phobia, insecurity, the whatever deep fear of your past experience, your mind will become fearful. Then it develops worry, anxiety, restless. And this mind state is very toxic. It's very negative in this energy field. And this one will cause your immune system to go down. This is where fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation leading to depression happen. That's why mental hindrance, they are very powerful. When you are in this mind state, you cannot develop the meditative mind. That's why it's called mental hindrances. Then the last one is doubt. When you don't have faith, when you don't understand, you tend to doubt, you're not sure, you become indecisive. So all this are the understanding that you have to develop. So when you live your life, you must aware, like the Buddha said, under the four foundations of mindfulness, Dhamma Nupassana, the last foundation, first category of practice. The Buddha said, you must develop awareness. When the mental hindrance are there, when there is sensual desire, you must be aware. When there is ill will, you must be aware. When there is sloth and torpor, you must be aware. when there is restlessness of mind born of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and labor, you must be aware. When there is doubt, you must be aware. And why must you be aware? That in that teaching, the Satipatthana, the fourth foundation, the Buddha said, if you stay aware, then you will come to understand how all these unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Because you will be able to understand its movement. That's why awareness and sati is very important. Without mindfulness, sati and awareness, you cannot see how sensual desire arise, craving arise, positive and negative. Then how when you feel sleepy, lethargic, and your mind is very dull, you cannot be in the state of awareness or attentiveness to pay attention, to develop the direct seeing, to insight in the phenomenon, to understanding. So all this, through mindfulness and awareness, you can trace the origination factor. How all this arise? It's through your senses, through your wrong thought, wrong view, wrong perception. Otherwise, they won't arise. The other way to understand it is, you don't have the opposite five spiritual faculties to counter them. When these opposite five are missing, then this one dominates the mental hindrance. That's why they are opposite mind states. That's why in the teaching, the Buddha said, we must develop these pancha indriyas, or spiritual faculties. Yeah. So these are mind states that can enable you to understand spiritual teaching. And what is this sadda? Faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. And how you develop this sadda? When you come to understand who the Buddha is, how unique the being he is, then you will understand this faith in its true meaning. Because the Buddha is not only enlightened, he is the fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. And you can say at the time when he arrives, and under the Bodhi tree when he became enlightened, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. And because of his cultivation, his perfection, he is called Sammasambuddha. So to have such a great being to be your teacher, you should count your great blessing and develop the respect and gratitude towards the Buddha. Means your faith towards the Buddha is through understanding who he is, how unique a being he is. He's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. And because of that, he understands the whole teaching, the whole of the Dhamma teaching and truth within the existential world, within the conditioned and the unconditioned world. That's why, because of that, he can teach and expound the Dhamma, the teaching, which comprises both the mundane and the supramundane understanding of life and existence. So because of that, the faith in him becomes unshakable, because such a being is really, really rare and difficult to come by. Then if you can learn from him, develop the understanding from him, you can become enlightened being. You can awaken. That's why that faith, that confidence become unshakable, very, very stable. When it become unshakable, it become ballast or powers, like what we develop through our chanting aspiration towards the end of the chanting, the opening puja. So when sadda is there, when you start to have this very strong faith, it will drive you. So when it drives you, you develop a type of spiritual energy which we call spiritual tenacity or spiritual zeal, Z-E-A-L. And when there is this spiritual tenacity or zeal, then it will drive you to cultivate. And what do you cultivate? The first thing you cultivate is sati, mindfulness, awareness, without thought. That's why we develop awareness-based meditation. When you have sati awareness, you can be aware of whatever arises. And when you can be aware, you can understand how they come to be, how they arise, and how they cease. Yeah. So all these are taught in the four foundations of mindfulness to satipatthana. Then when sati is developed, like what we did in the awareness-based meditation, you have to stabilize it. When it stabilizes and becomes samadhi, then this mind becomes a free mind, becomes collected and unwavering. That's why it's called samadhi. Then when there is no movement, sati and samadhi will enable you to see things as they are. Means at the moment of sense experience, your mind will not stir. Your mind will not create the movement like the mental hindrance, like and dislike, pleasant. Means there is clarity. There is this ability to have the direct seeing, to see things as they are. Means you are not affected. That seeing is without thought. Without thought means no word, no concept, no duality, nothing. This one is the true mind, sati, awareness, see things as they are. And this one is capable of insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. And because of that, it can lead to enlightenment, awakening. So when sati and samadhi is developed, the mind becomes collected and unwavering, then this mind is capable of the meditative see, the direct seeing, or we call it the pure seeing. Yeah. So when this direct seeing develops, then finally when wisdom stabilizes, you develop from direct seeing to transcendental seeing, or what we call suchness seeing. Means we come back to normal understanding of what reality is. So like the three types of seeing as explained in Zen, Kan San Si San, then the direct see, Kan San Bu Si San, then the final suchness see, Kan San Yu Si San. So that's how you develop them. Then when you have this, you develop what we call wisdom, panya. That's how the spiritual faculty are developed. And when this is developed, it counter the five mental hindrance. So now let's understand how it counter the mental hindrance. Of course, when you have wisdom, it will counter all. Understand now? When there is wisdom, there is no sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt. Why? Your wisdom will enable you to see things as they are, to accept the reality of the moment. So when you can see things as they are and accept the reality of the moment, means you understand life, existence, the way it is. Means no like, no dislike, no pleasant, unpleasant. It's just nature's condition manifesting. And when you understand them, all the essential desire, ill will, the craving, all cannot arise. That's why at the moment of sense experience, feeling will remain as pure feeling, no more pleasant and unpleasant feeling. That's why the enlightened being, they have this wisdom, they can be at the moment of contact. Then when contact condition feeling remain as pure feeling, because this wisdom prevent them from being deluded, prevent them from creating that attachment, that craving, that desire to own, to have, to hold on to grasp at, to cling on to. All this will never happen. That's why all the five mental hindrance is no more. But when there is sadha, what happens? When you develop the faith. Yeah? When you have the faith, you got no more doubt in it. True or not? Yeah? So when there is this sadha, it will counter this, what we call doubt. Understand? So doubt is no more. Then when there is sadha, means your mind is collected and calm, the inner calmness, inner collectedness. The sadha will make you very different, means your faith, it will remove the doubt. And after that, it can also counter what we call restlessness of mind. Yeah. So these two, yeah, even when you have faith, there is no more doubt, and you no longer worry. Yeah. Then when there is virya, it will counter sloth and torpor. You no longer sleepy. Okay? Then when there is sati, sensual desire and ill will cannot be there. Because this one is without thought. Sati is awareness, mindfulness, without thought. There is no duality, no like and dislike, no pleasant. It's just aware. No words, no concept, nothing. Okay. Then likewise, samadhi. When you have samadhi, your mind is collectedness, and unwavering. So this one will counter restlessness of mind, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. So this is how you can develop the understanding to develop the meditative mind to meditate. So there are many ways to counter mental hindrance. One of the best ways is to develop this, what we call spiritual faculty, opposite. When these are developed, this one ceases. When there is no more mental hindrance, what happens? There is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, inner. That's why sati take over. That's why your mind enters sati. When your mind enters sati, all this disappear. So mind entering sati is very important. Without hindrance, sati will take over. Then when sati take over, it develops samadhi, then it can see things as they are. That's why they keep on arising wisdom, understanding. That's why when your daily mindfulness is very stable, leading to stability of samadhi, or we call it your sati sampajana, become very stable. Then you can have more and more space between thought. You hardly think. Most of the time you are just away without thought. You only arise thought when you need to live life and arise that. So all this will become very clear as you develop the cultivation. The other way is through the four foundations of mindfulness, you trace their origination factor. Then when you already trace their origination factor, you will come to know how they arise. Then retrospectively, use the understanding to reverse all this. So when you understand how they arise, then you can retrospectively make it cease. Means like sensual desire and evil, you know these two arise is because you lack mindfulness, awareness, lack understanding. You do not have the understanding that these are mental hindrances. It will hinder your mind. So this is not something for you to cling on to, hold on to, and attach on to. That's why when you are mindful, aware, this state cannot arise. So after you trace the origination factor, then you can come to know that it's from your senses and your accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, born of memories. That's why you will come to know how the top mundane thinking arises to respond to memory. That's why that brain here, this one, when you don't have the Dhamma understanding and wisdom, you cannot use. This is hell. This is where all the mental hindrance, delusion, wrong view, wrong thought, everything reside. And without wisdom, you cannot reverse all this. That's why you need the spiritual faculty to bring about wisdom. You remember what I told you? Only wisdom free, nothing else. Mind that without wisdom will be entangled. So, understand. Yeah? So this is by far the most detailed explanation I have ever given, yeah? On the five spiritual faculty here, yeah? And the five mental hindrances. Whereas in the early days, I cannot go into with too much detail yet. Most of you are not ready. Not ready. Yeah. Then later when you are ready, I mentioned a little bit about both sides. But today, I went into the full description of what this thing is. We are most Karimita who has developed the progress and understanding, they can understand now. And now, I read the Unicode again, you will understand. That's why at that time when I come out with this Unicode, I don't think many people understand, very few. Maybe only one or two, a handful. Okay, now I read again. Pancha Nivaranas, or the five mental hindrances. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and worry, and doubt or indecision. These mind states, the five mental hindrances, will hinder our mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Eh? Now you understand, huh? Just now I described them already. Therefore, to develop the meditative mind state or meditation, we must cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties to counter this mental hindrance in order to enable us to develop the spiritual understanding. Or to understand spiritual teaching. So all this will become clear to you by now. Yeah? So go back and listen to this sharing again for those who are new. Until you develop the understanding, then reflect on it, contemplate on it, stabilize the understanding. Then you become different. Then you cultivate the understanding. And you will progress very fast. The next code is Unique Dhamma Code 120. So this one is very straightforward. It's a continuation, I already explained just now. With Sati and Samadhi developed, wisdom or Panya, the fifth spiritual faculty, will arise. With wisdom, all the five mental hindrances will cease, like what I explained just now. And the mind will be in the meditative state all the time, naturally. You don't have to do anything. When your spiritual faculties are there, you are naturally in the meditative state. All the mental hindrances cannot arise, like I explained just now. Well, all the five mental faculties or spiritual faculties, they counter the hindrance. So when you have them, that is the fastest way and easiest way to overcome the hindrance. And when there is no hindrance, that's why you are always in the state of sati awareness, leading to heedfulness. So So I read again. Visuddhi and Samadhi develop. Wisdom and Opanya, the fifth spiritual faculty, will arise. With wisdom, all the five mental hindrances will cease, and the mind will be in the meditative state all the time naturally because there is no more mental hindrance to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So now maybe I will make use of the balance of time to explain to you why when you do the development of the so-called meditation, most of the traditional teaching, they advise you to do things that are in contradiction to the understanding of these two sets of essential numbers. So now I explain to you. When you do your retreat meditation, most of the traditional meditation teaching are based on methods and technique and even meditation object. So all this are thought-based approach to meditation. Most of them are thought-based, except when you understand anapanasati and when you develop mindfulness, awareness, then there is some form of awareness-based meditation. So what happened is, as you develop the sitting, because they will ask you to sit, especially at retreat, sit until you encounter a lot of what they call pain, especially pain or numbness, then sometimes sleepiness. You experience all the five mental hindrances. So when you experience them, what do they teach you? They teach you to note one. Note the hindrance there. Especially sleepiness. They thought by noting, it can do away with the hindrance. Not knowing that without wisdom, without the spiritual faculty, there is no way you can overcome them. And the worst is, when there is pain, they ask you to note what? Pain, 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 understand? Or when there is thinking, 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 understand? They not only verbalize, they label it. When you label it as pain and thinking, what is happening? What is pain? Is it a pleasant feeling? It's an unpleasant feeling, isn't it? And what is that? Ill will. It's a mental hindrance, no? And he asks you to note and repeat, verbalize that, no? And create more mental hindrance, no? Then how can you break free from pain? What you should do is relax into it and develop the awareness of it. When you are with the awareness can take over when the mental hindrance is no more there. That's why when I developed the meditation in the early day, I never label, I never verbalize. I just acknowledge, aware, then I relax into it. Then when I relax into it, what happened? I didn't labor it. I didn't arise any aversion towards that sensation which you label as unpleasant or painful feeling. So when I don't labor, when I don't verbalize, what happened? My mind starts to develop the acceptance of it, isn't it? I just endure with wisdom. And without labeling, it's no more mental hindrance. And no more mental hindrance means after a while, the sati that I maintain take over. That's why when sati takes over, I realize that pain is gone. That's how I told you it flashes on. And completely gone. That's why that time the virya came, everything came. Then I look at it, how come it's so amazing? How come it's like that? Then I came to realize this understanding. That's why now I can share with you, I can explain all this to you. When there is sati, the mental hindrance gone. Where sati is without thought, without duality, without all of this so-called labeling, verbalization. So when you have the understanding, you meditate with understanding, then when there is no mental hindrance, your spiritual faculty, sati, will take over, then it will develop the stability of samadhi. That's why the third way to develop the meditative understanding as taught by the Buddha, there are five ways to overcome unwholesome thought or unpleasant wrong thought or wrong speech, wrong action and wrong thing. So the five way is, the first two are thought based. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought to counter that wrong thought. Then second way is think of the consequence, the danger of holding on to that wrong thought, because it's an evil, it's a mental hindrance. It will create mental hindrance and hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So when you have all this understanding, you become different. Then this mind develop the ability to just be aware. When it's just aware, what happens? When anger arises, when the mental hindrance, sensual desire arise, ill will arise, sloth and torpor arise, what happens? When you maintain awareness, what happens? That's why I say, even when you feel sleepy, don't resist it, don't reject it, don't develop aversion towards it. You remember in the last book, Brother Song, he mentioned this word, which is very important. He said, almost every meditator in the early day, they cling on to good meditation, good meditative mind state, and they reject all these mental hindrance and painful, negative, meditative mind state. So when you do this, you are trapped in duality, created by your thoughts, movement of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. So what you should do is develop the understanding to be aware. That's why the Buddha in the fourth foundation, Dhammanupassana, he said when the mental hindrances are there, or under Cittanupassana, when there is sensual desire, when there is greed, when there is hatred, or when there is fear, you must be aware. Aware means what? Be with it. Remember? They also say, be with it. Don't create mental hindrance. Don't reject. Don't resist. Don't try to fight it. Embrace it, like Sui said. When these are nature's phenomena, it arises. You need to understand. Like the Buddha said, when you aware, be with it, what happened? The pain, the fear, the sleepiness, when you be with it, what happened? When the awareness is with it, there is no thinking, isn't it? No thinking means what? No word, no concept, no duality, nothing, understand how? Then how can pain arise? How can all this arise? It cannot. Well, all these are dependent originating mind state, condition arising mind state, due to your wrong view, wrong understanding. The evil roots are there. You stir your mind, you react. That's why when you have all this understanding, then you stay aware with the spiritual faculty and be with it. Then when there is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state, all these which are dependent originating or conditioned arising mind state, they cease to be. Even your anger, when they arise, stay with it, silent. Like Kogun say, the fear, worry, anxiety, silent. I tested it with sloth and torpor in the early days, before 1989. I stay with it, I accept it, I do not resist or reject it. I do not create any aversion towards it or mental hindrance of dislike towards it. I just be with it. When I embrace sloth and torpor or sleepiness, the mind state of awareness take over and you can find out for yourself. You will be really, really amazingly, both shocked and amazingly happy. Because when I did it, the whole sloth and torpor suddenly just flashes off, gone, no more. And that clarity, that what they call virya inside there, suddenly appear because of sati, that clarity that it manifests. Then I realize when I don't label, I don't create mental hindrance, I embrace, I stay aware, then it ceases. And this is how you develop the understanding. Well, our awareness nature is the pure nature without thought. And that one is our true mind, original mind. So if you embrace it, be with it, this mind, which is your true mind, will remain. That's why it will realize your true mind. And all your other mind states, which are dependent originating, condition arising, not intrinsic within our true mind, they will disappear. They will cease to be. And this is how you develop the understanding of the Buddha's teaching, the meditative understanding. Can follow now? This one I already taught before, but I don't think many of you got it at that time. Because only a few, even Kogun managed to do it, that's why he was full of joy. That word be with it means the awareness and the emotion as one. Whatever mind state arise, whether fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness of mind, or pain, or sloth and torpor, or whatever, any of the five mental hindrance or doubt, you stay with it. Be aware. Then find out. Then when it ceases, you have a lot of joy. Then you realize that true mind is tranquility, stillness, clarity, the pure awareness nature within. And this is your true nature. Because this is what is the awareness nature, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. It's just aware, no word, nothing, no duality, no this, no that. So the understanding of it is very important, very beautiful. You must do it. Then what happened is, how did thought sustain itself? Well, when you feed it with wrong view, then thought is given the power. Then you continue to think, to get angry, emotional, or develop the reasoning. That's why all sorts of analysis, reasoning will strengthen the thought. Well, the thought need energy, need your logical thinking. And it moves into emotion very fast. Then when you analyze, you got all your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, all of your phobia or accumulated memory, and all these are rubbish, understand? Not wisdom, understand? And if you use this to analyze, to reason, then you end up in argument. Well, these are not wisdom. These are your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system. your mind state that you created through your deluded thinking. And with that, how can you develop wisdom to free you? That's why without all this Dhamma understanding, you cannot penetrate the secret of life. You cannot understand who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human, and how you entangle yourself with all these so-called issues. I like the way Krishnamurti described it. I recently saw one of his videos. People ask him, what is life and honesty? He said, life is beautiful and amazing, beautiful, wonderful. Why make it ugly? You understand what he said or not? Like Su Yi came to know where he embraced everything. Everything is just the way it is. Conditioned by that, things were meant to be. And everything can be understood with beauty. Even all the things that happen, you may think is, wow, karma very bad. But everything is just the way it is. Understand? Its beauty is this other reality. You don't have the Dhamma understanding, you entangle, you get into trouble. But life itself is beautiful when you understand. Wonderful. Why make it ugly? To what? To your anger, your hatred, your inability to accept what happened. Your craving, wanting things your way, your desire. And your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, you want to impose on others. Understand? This one cannot do, that one cannot do. This one immoral. You become so rigid, understand? And you want to control the world. You can't even control your own craving, your own delusion. And you want to control the world. You want to control society. That's why our world is full of conflict, war, misunderstanding. And all the things that happen is the result of the deluded avijja, the ignorance that humanity carries. And through that, the collective consciousness become affected. That's why Jai Krishnamurti explained it very well. He said, for the world to change, it may just be our planet or the universe. What must change? For the world to change, what must change? The individual must change, you understand? But the individual is the summation of the totality of consciousness. If the individual does not change, the collective consciousness cannot be changed. If the collective consciousness cannot be changed, how can you expect the world to be peaceful? Understand? That's why the individual must change. That's why each and every one of the living beings, you must change. And when you change, you have the ability to influence. Maybe not one-to-one, understand? That's why I say you only need 1% of the population to change. Then this whole planet become beautiful. Yeah. It become like they call utopia or eternal heaven. All these are words, understand? But what is beautiful about this is when the individual change, you can feel it, like our Kayamita grouping. The Kayamita gathering, the collective consciousness. When we are together with the Kayamita, do you realize you feel good, understand? Your mind state are beautiful. And there's a lot of understanding about harmony. So when I say 1%, you know what is the world population or not? Now it's about 8 over billion, isn't it? Let's say 8 billion. 1% is how many? 80 million, oh. You think so easy, ah? 80 million become enlightened. You can get 1 million, you tao qi already. That's why it's not easy to change the world. Even 100,000 is very difficult to find. But if you have the understanding and the faith and the individual change, then the rest will happen by itself. You don't have to go and use your thought to analyze and reason, aiya, cannot or not, impossible or not. Based on your logic, all this is not possible. Then you look at all the great beings, the Samasambuddha, the wow. How come they can hold on to that type of wow? How come they can do like Tichang Wang Pusa? Not until the hell is empty of hell being. He vowed not to become the Samasambuddha. So all this, you think they don't have the understanding. You think they go and hold that type of vow to block themselves. No, they have the wisdom and the understanding. That's why if you look at the pure land that Amitabha created, that is an example of a world system that has that type of pure land, where all the beings, minimum 5 preceptors, you understand? Minimum 5 preceptors. So that type of world, that's why it's called pure land. Understand? So it's possible, but you must have that understanding, the vow and the faith to develop all this. So hopefully with all this understanding, it can give you faith and can create the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, leading to Sati, Samadhi, and progress in meditative wisdom. And this is what my nature really look forward to. So hopefully you all can develop the faith to move fast in this direction, so that more and more parameter can develop the awakening and take the Bodhisattva away and transform the living beings, take them all across. Then all this can be a living reality. Good for you, good for the many, and good for all parameters. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Second session is reporting of meditation, followed by whatever question you may have regarding the meditation, the teaching, and how to apply this teaching. And you can also share Dhamma in daily life based on your own cultivation and experience.
Good evening, Rajin, and all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a small experience.
Good. Sadhu.
Before I went to Wutaisan, I had this problem. I had ear block.
Oh, okay.
Just 2-3 days before I went to Wutaisan.
Yes.
So the problem, I'm still having the problem until today.
Oh, okay.
I went to see ENT several times. I took medicine, but it seems it doesn't help. But very strange that when I do meditation, when I meditate during the meditation, I didn't really feel that the ear block. So it is very normal. But once I came out from the meditation, so this problem came back again. So this is the problem that I'm facing at the moment.
Oh, okay.
So the ear block actually is because due to the tube that connect from my nose to the ear, that is dysfunction. So
okay.
I feel the pressure in the middle of my ear. So always the pressure that affect my hearing. I even did a hearing test.
Oh, okay.
The pressure just didn't go away.
Okay.
But when I meditate, this problem, I mean, I don't feel it, you know.
Yeah,
So
yeah,
I
yeah.
don't
In the
feel this
meditative state, it can happen because in the early days, I remember, in the early days, I normally sometimes I got this nose block. I remember my nose block. And I remember that time I was still in the university. I was still active playing badminton then because we play until so exhausted. So off and on, I developed this so-called nose block or flu. Then when I determined to develop the meditative posture, which that time I did Anapanasati, every time I go into the Anapanasati, the thing gone. But then after that, when I come out, I relax, then I rest enough, then I heal. Then that flu is gone. I no need to take medicine at that time. Then later on, after I know how to develop the awareness-based meditation, when I was able to detect the gateway and all those things, what happened was from then onward, I got no problem with all these so-called sinus or nose problem. Whenever they come and disturb me, I will just go and rest, be in the meditative state. So in the early day, normally after 10 minutes, I recover. Then later, I realize I need 1 hour. Or initially, maybe half an hour, then 1 hour. Then as the body ages, as the time go by, I need 2 hours. Then later on, I realize I need 8 hours. Then at the age of 60 something to 70, I realize I have to rest whole day until next morning. So normally I will go and sleep early or rest early. And nowadays I also know that this, your so-called antihistamine, I'm very familiar. This antihistamine, I don't know, the scientists that discover it must be very good. I realize after I take the floor, I can just straight away rest. Then it will heal me or not. It will heal me with. I don't know whether it's a coincidence or what. I will stay at the heart area. Because in the initial years, I remember that gateway is not stable yet or not. You won't always find it or detect it or not. It takes a while. And initially, I remember you detect it, then you do it continuously, the meditation, then it will stay with you. But then once you like become complacent and you decide not to do it so often, then it's like you find it difficult to detect again or not. But as long as you know how to relax, maintain awareness, then it come back. So what happened was, after I come to understand all this, I realize every time I take the antihistamine, I can rest and stay there. I don't need to go and look for it. Then I recover very fast. By the time the next morning, you remember sometimes you see me at the spiritual trip, where we walk a lot. I got limited physical energy. So once my physical energy is drained, it caused me to have this histamine thing to throw out or not. And I sneeze and my state is like, you look at me, you think I'm going to get flu or fall sick already. Then I always tell the Kamita, don't worry, let me rest. That night I go and rest, the next morning I recover again. And this has been going on for quite a while. So for your case, Elsie, you will need to do both. Do both. You meditate, then when you recover that time, you have to find out. Because ear I haven't encountered, but the nose one I encountered before. I take antihistamine, then I go and rest. Then when I recover, I fully recover from the flu and all those things. But the ear one, what I experience is, when I take my bowel, the water go in, then pressure problem. That one, I actually use my hand to press against the ear that is affected, then like release it, create a suction and release it. Then after a while, it clear. Once the water is clear, the blockage also clear. Did you check with the ENT, Elsie?
Yes, I went to see the ENT several times, and I did a hearing test as well.
Oh, okay. What did they advise you?
The cause is because of the sinus, very mild sinus. I have very mild sinus. That means this fluid or mucus that went to the throat, went into the throat, that affect my went into the ear actually. So that affect the.
Maybe you check around, see whether there is any other alternative ENT who is good. You should actually try and ask second opinion and check. Because I believe the ENT, if they are good, they can actually help you locate the thing.
So I haven't gone for second opinion because the medicine I take more than a month already from
Maybe it doesn't work already. If it has to take so long, that doesn't work already.
No, I mean in between is not continuously. I mean in between.
The other thing is, just now, if I didn't hear you wrong, it also from your sinus there, if the mucus flow over.
To the ear, that there's some swelling inside.
Then the ENT can do the treatment. Where it's swelling means you need to put in that type of. Last time we used the eardrop, from
the nose spray. They call it.
Not nose spray. The nose spray is different. That one is for the nose. But for the ear, if there is infection, you can buy from the medical shop. You actually drop it in, then it heal. After it heal, when I was young, I actually I go and dig my ear, dig until it become that time young, don't understand. Until it hurt the part inside, then my father gave me that one, and drop inside. Then sometimes it's got nana, what you call that? Got pus, inside. It's into septic or what, I think, chronic. That one also, I put that eardrop, very effective. I pour inside, I remember, it's like a bubbling sound, all those things. It's like something working inside there. You can feel it on it, like bubbling sound inside there. Then after that, when it dry up, I feel no more pain already, heal. Anyway, you will need to find alternative ENT or if it's really, you say, is it chronic or what you mentioned just now?
Actually, That means the sinus fluid or mucus go into
Any pain or not inside there? Any pain?
it's no pain, nothing.
Oh, no pain. No pain
No
means
pain,
it's
it's
not.
only the pressure that trap is like pressure trapped in the middle of the ear.
Oh, okay.
So just like when you are up in the plane, you get all this pressure, you know, the
Oh,
pressure
okay.
trap.
Like that, I think you try to use the hand to like create the suction, press it,
Yes, it helps for a while only. It helps for a while only.
Oh, means you have to look for an ENT that know how to suck it out for you. I think they
No,
got a pump or don't know what on, I think. Then they know how to sterilize for you. You maybe ask around, see whether any good ENT, especially anybody within the Kaimita group, you have ENT specialist that is quite good, you can recommend. You can just WhatsApp in and let LC know so that he can consult.
Now, I mean, only when I do meditation during that time,
But think clear,
sometimes.
I know, it will clear one. Because you are in the state of awareness. When you are in the state of awareness, all this clear. Last time, my nose blocked until the air also cannot come out. But when I did Anapanasati, it clear, really clear. Every time I do Anapanasati, it clear. Because that time, my Anapanasati was very stable. So what you share is true, it can happen. Because I went to those, what they call, session before. And for me, it's always my nose block. And the block can be so severe until no air go through or not. But after I start my Anapanasati, within 3-4 minutes, I remember, it clear. Then I was breathing normally again. And I need to be in that state for quite a while, maybe 40 minutes to 1 hour. And then after that I come out, I felt like I recovered. But I need to rest. I need to rest. Then
Yeah.
later, yes, Elsie, yeah.
Yeah, we witness your problem also, Rachel. After a while, then your blockage also gone.
Yeah, all gone, everything gone. The moment I started the sharing at the retreat, you all also know. Initially, I was
so
using the tissue paper or the stay. Then after I deliver the Dhamma, then I lie down. After that, I recover again. I will become normal again. You all witness it and saw it.
Several times, yes.
Several times, yes. In fact, after I know how to develop the awareness-based meditation, I can heal myself for certain type of problem, like my sinus, all those things. Flu, no problem. If I want to have very severe flu attack or what, I can heal very fast on that one. The only thing I cannot heal is one, cough. And then I cannot. Cough is something that trigger to the throat one. It's nothing to do with the healing from that nature. So I realized the cough. But now I got a way to deal with the cough. I told my wife and my daughter. I take the pipako. You don't take it one spoonful, one shot. No. You take one spoonful or 1 teaspoonful, you sip, slowly sip, then drink a little bit of water, then sip. You do it over an hour, maybe 4 or 5 times. Then you go and sleep, go and rest. Then I realize it starts to heal. Last time, cannot. Last time I remember, but one time it was there almost 3 weeks. And then only I finally managed to resolve the cough. Then after that, I determined to find out, you know, how this can be resolved. Then I realized the pipako, the way I take it was wrong. Well, I swallow whole spoonful. Yeah. Then I every 4 hour or 6 hour I take one, and that was the wrong way. You must sit, let it go to your throat, yeah. Because that pipako one got a type of enzyme in it. Then together with your saliva or what, it will work. But very slow. Then the other one that they use is cacti and all those things. So it depends. You have to find out yourself. So Elsie, for your case, you will seek alternative. Then you try the antihistamine, because the antihistamine, you go and rest before you sleep. You go and rest. Now there are two types, one not sleepy one. You can take the not sleepy one also, but you will go to your gateway there one, funny one. Then it will heal you one. Where the antihistamine, the one make you sleepy one, is to knock you off one, which is also good. Then when you are knocked off, it's not that you are in the meditative state. When you are knocked off, you don't create so much thought process to resist the nature's. We call it the nature's life force energy from your karmic nature there, where they will come and heal on when you don't resist. But when your brain think a lot, it cannot really smoothly come in. Then it's supposed to go around our body. That's why those who study the TCM or the Chinese medicine, they know there is a they call it one the chi flow at night to which organ what time all those things they got the book that give them the study and that one I believe it should be true because when I know how to do this awareness based meditation, I realize I can rest my organ all very good. And I recover very fast, especially from the sinus thing and all those things, or flu or whatever. Except cough, I really cannot do much. Okay, anyway, thanks for the sharing. Elsie, anything else you want to add?
No, not at the moment.
Not at the moment. You can nominate somebody else. Eh?
Roger. Can you hear me, Roger?
Yeah. So, Manyan, you got 6 minutes shot on.
Maybe I can share something to physically. Remember last year, end of last year, I had this heart palpitation that I went to the hospital. They did some tests, the basic one, I think the ECG, and then I think they put me on observation, stay in hospital, but detected nothing because a palpitation when I was in the hospital. So then they set up some other tests for me early this year in February, but just that I didn't get to do it. Didn't get to do it. But I think last week, I finally did it. They asked me to wear a holter where it will record my heartbeat. That was done a few months ago. And then last week was the, they call it the, cardiogram. It's something next week I have to go and see the doctor so that the doctor can explain to me if anything. But anyway, the doctor who did the scanning for me, said there's nothing wrong from what she see lah. But then she the test that I did would not be able to show any blockage.
That one they call it angiogram, I think. Angiogram. That one is very accurate. Any blockage they know. But for lady, normally The blockage is very low.
So, next week I go, but anyway, she told me nothing wrong, so I already know that.
Yeah, sadhu. But after you rested in the hospital, you came out, you okay already, right?
Okay, but after come back from Taishan, I think a few weeks after that, there wasn't any palpitation, but during the whole day, a certain time, it's like knocking, ta ta ta, don't stop. Then after a few hours, ta ta ta, again like that, you know.
Oh, okay. But it's not affecting you anymore.
The previous one was very bad because for 2 hours it never stopped. It was beating very, very
Oh,
fast.
but how you feel? You feel how is your feeling? Do you feel anything eerie or not right?
I don't feel really like just that because the beating was so hard and fast, I don't feel comfortable. But this time,
Then you relax into it lah. You try next time. Relax into it slightly.
God, but this time it's not like continuous. It's like during 1 hour, it can be like one time or two times like that, lah.
Oh,
So,
not that easy, huh?
but because I'm working, I'm not so easy to relax into
So
it.
next
But
time
this
when it happens, you go into the relaxation mode and silent. Then you find out how. Because normally the heart palpation, if you are in the awareness meditative state, it becomes very quiet, very fast. The whole of the heartbeat is like regulated. You become very quiet, very still, very fast when you know how to do it. You try it and see.
I remember last year, I didn't try to relax, but yeah, it beat just as fast. It didn't change the nature of it. But this time, after I think a few days of it like that, then how it then it was, I don't know, maybe I have to explain to the doctor, but how it ended, it was a bit wooden, because it was beating and then it stopped. And then how it ended was I felt warm around my chest area. And then it's spreading from in the middle to the rest of my body. But only spread, but it's not beating anymore. It's like energy spreading from the middle to outer. And then after that,
Good. If the energy can move like that, it's healing you. It's healing you. Let it move. Relax into it. Remember, the key word is relax into it. Then the movement become more refined. Then the nature will know how to direct it. Don't force it. Don't use your thought to direct it. Just relax into it and let it move.
I didn't use any thought, but I was observing it, and it felt
Observing it
good.
is okay. But
Very
remember to relax,
good.
because sometimes behind the background, you may overload that relaxation part. You may become interested, excited, then you zero into it with some energy without you knowing it. But it's okay. Initially, it's okay. After you become more conversant already or more established in the understanding, right, then you will know how to do the relaxation. Anyway, you wait for the doctor's appointment again, then ask the doctor. I think what he told you is good, because they cannot detect anything, means there is no block, nothing.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you. Okay, anything else, Maya?
Maybe next time I share that one maybe.
Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu. So we should thank LC and Manya for sharing this part on the health aspect of what they gone through. So This could be another interesting field where we can develop more understanding with sharing from Kayamita who has all this experience. Okay, like just like what I shared with you all, that whatever I went through, that I can relate to, I will share. So likewise, similarly, I think what they did is also good. Maybe initially they may not understand what all this is, but over time, after they recover, then they will have better understanding and experience to share. So this is something very useful too. Okay, let us now share merits and transfer merits. Akka satta ca pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana ettavata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu Yawa divana patia sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole Zoom. Sadhu.